Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. On today's program, we are talking about changing the world. It's a pretty broad topic, but we think we can do it. So we have some teenagers with us today that are going to share their insights and their thoughts about this topic. So why don't you tell me your name and where you go to church?
My name is Noah, and I go to St. Bridget.
My name is Kaylee, and I go to St. Bridget also.
I'm Kobe. I go to Church of the Resurrection.
My name's Nick, and I go to St. Patrick's.
Great. Well, thank you all for being here. Have you guys heard the famous quote by Gandhi, "Be the change you wish to see in the world"? Yes.
Yes.
You're all nodding your head. It's very... very popular. It's something that we see like on murals and on brochures and on, you know, it's a slogan. It's become sort of trendy, and I don't mean to undermine it because it's brilliant. You know, be the change you wish to see in the world. But I think a lot of times we hear that quote and think, oh, that's nice, and then just go on with our lives. So I thought today we could focus on how we can really change the world, like what concrete specific things we or you as Catholic youth can do to bring about change in the world. So I wanted to start the discussion by talking about the things that you see when you look around, the things in the world that you see that you would like to change or that you think need to change. I don't know, just start a list. What are some of those things?
Like bullying in schools and stuff.
Bullying's a big one. Yeah, it's having a huge impact, you know, and it leads to... Yeah. A lot of different horrible things yeah. that happen, you know, suicide or, you know, whatever, you name it. What else? What are some other things?
I would say poverty, just like either in like your hometown or just like statewide or worldwide too.
Okay. All different levels of poverty. There are lots of different levels. Yeah.
I'd say among teens mostly, like impurity and that stuff.
Okay.
And for me, a little on a broader sense, just the violence and the misunderstanding of different people, how one culture can misunderstand another culture leads to so many different difficulties, and that can lead to everything else like poverty, like other problematic things. So I think that misunderstanding of different people, different cultures, leads to bigger problems. And if we can,
that can look like prejudice or bigotry or oppression or right. lots of different. When really what we're looking at is misunderstanding.
I think so, yes.
Okay. Those are some great examples. So you know what I'm going to ask you next. So what are you going to do about it? But what could you specifically, or young people specifically, or people of any age, like, let's start with bullying. Nick, you talked about bullying. Mm-hmm. So what's something that Catholic youth can do to change the culture in regard to bullying?
I would say, like, just promoting the culture of life overall. You know, there's so much, you know, like, violence and bullying, I can't say that, in the schools and stuff. And just, you know, and I think it comes from a lot of spiritual dryness, you know, people not knowing God and not realizing how their actions can affect other people. So just, like, bringing joy and... you know, spreading God's love in your school or, you know, around your community, that can really help to just stop the, you know, the violence and stuff that's going on.
When you talk about bringing joy and spreading God's love, are you talking about just living by your example? Or are you talking about specifically, like, well, you go to St. Charles, so you can talk about Jesus at St.
Yeah,
Charles.
Yeah.
But are you talking about, like, specifically sitting down with people and saying, let me tell you about my faith or my hope or my joy?
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And yeah, like having people to talk to and, you know, bringing Jesus to people, like, especially when you see them acting out or something, and letting people know, like, you know, what you're doing can be wrong, and tell them, like, just like the all the benefits of having God in your life, you know, how that can make you an overall happier person. You don't need to like make other people feel bad to make yourself feel good.
Hold on to that thought, Nick, because I want to talk more about specifically evangelizing and specifically talking about Jesus. I want to come back to that in a minute. Kobe, you talked about impurity in teenagers. I don't know, are there specific things that you can think of that can help to change our culture in regard to that specific issue?
I think in a like a broad sense that the most important thing would be to help people understand that when you act on something that's impure, like, it'll bring you short-term like pleasure, but overall you're not going to be happy, and the goal of life is happiness.
You like Nick are saying specific conversations with people who you know are hurting themselves or in different
or just like leading by example and mm-hmm. stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, as a young man, like if you're dating, or as a young woman when you're dating, you know, you're sort of responsible in a sense for the person you're dating, you know, for their purity and well-being and spiritual well-being. Yeah. All right, Kaylee, you mentioned poverty.
Yeah, just when what I've seen, like helping out down at like soup kitchens, and just when you travel a lot and you go to like downtown cities, you just see a lot of people out on the streets, and it like hurts my heart because you see them like, everybody has like a home, and they're like homeless, and so it just really hurts me. But I know just doing something simple like donating food to a soup kitchen, or participating in a food drive, or just donating money to like good causes.
And that's the cool thing about how you can be involved in that regard, is it doesn't matter. Like, you can be someone who's extremely wealthy, and that's awesome because you can, you know, build things or give money or, you know, infiltrate the system that way. Or you can be someone who has not much, and like you said, go down and serve at a soup kitchen or donate canned goods, or, you know, there's a wide spectrum of things we can do. Or raise awareness. You know, I know a lot of kids organize food drives and fundraisers and that sort of thing to help not only with donations, but just to raise awareness for people who may not know. Okay, and then Noah, you talked about misunderstanding and prejudice and disrespecting differences.
Right.
What do you think specifically you could do?
I think specifically the biggest thing is lead by example, because I feel like that's not something that you can just sit down and say, look, you need to get over this. You need to get over this prejudice. You need to get over this hatred of another person. You know, just in our school, I've seen, I'm sure that there are instances everywhere, in the workforce or in the schools or wherever you go, that, you know, people are hard pressed to look over their prejudice of other people. And I think the biggest thing to do as a Catholic youth, is to lead by example, like Kobe said with the impurity, is to lead by example and to show that it doesn't matter what they look like, it doesn't matter what they sound like, it doesn't matter, none of that matters. It's actually getting to know someone that you will be able to form a relationship with them, and then that hatred will just go away. And people are too focused on their hatred to accept the fact that the people around them that they're hating are probably their best friends, or potentially could be their best friends. And that happens on a broader scale, you know, all the things in the news about Ukraine and all that stuff that's going on. And, you know, even on a personal level at school, you know, people you don't like, people that get on your nerves, everything like that, you can do by leading by example and just showing people who you see are acting that way, showing them that, you know, you can be accepting of everybody. And it's not going to be an overnight thing. It won't be something that happens overnight, but, you know, it's something that everyone, you kind of, it's a one step at a time. One person begins and then someone else joins in, and eventually, hopefully, everyone.
That's a really good segue into what I want to talk about next, which is the motivation for changing the world, because it has to be love. like there's no other reason that we would be motivated to make a change in the world other than out of genuine love for other people. You know, whether it's people we know or people we don't know, we have to be motivated by love. And I found this really appropriate clip. Do you guys know Kid President? Do you ever watch his?
Yeah.
Kid President. He's so cute. If you haven't seen him, he's this cute little kid who dresses up in a blue jacket and a tie, and he sits behind a desk, and he looks like he's in the Oval Office, and he calls himself Kid President, and he's just this great little motivational speaker. So I wanted to play a clip of his on changing the world. So here we go.
But the truth is, a title doesn't make you more important. The world is changed by you. It's one person filled with love, and they just have to live it out. So they do something awesome. Then that person is filled with love, and they do something awesome. It just goes on and on and on and on. And the next thing you know, everything's awesome. Some people think it's impossible to change the world.
It's impossible to change the world.
Well, you can see why they could think that. Living in the world with kids who are hungry, people who are homeless, families weren't happy. I'm just trying to figure it out like everybody else, man. But I do know this, though. Next time you feel overwhelmed or totally alone, remember this. Things don't have to be the way they are. The world is changed by ordinary people. Little people living out big love.
Okay, so that was the wisdom of Kid President, our favorite little YouTube celebrity. And you are listening to Raising Saints on St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we are here today with Noah, Kaylee, Kobe, and Nick, and we're talking about changing the world. So I chose this clip because I love what he says about, he says, someone changes the world when they're filled with love and they just have to live it out, so they do something awesome, and then he goes on and on with the domino effect. So that's kind of going along what you were talking about, Noah, just loving people, you know, and being filled with that love to the point where we have to do something with that love and share that. And then he goes on to say the world is changed by little people living out big love, which, of course, when I heard that, I don't know about you guys, when I heard that, I thought immediately of Mother Teresa and her famous quote, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So I think sometimes we feel like, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. I don't have money. I don't have power. I don't have fame. I don't have, you know, but that's not true. The point is that we can each do these little things. Just if we're doing them with great love, we'll have a great we'll have a great impact. So as Christians, we're called to love Christ by loving others, but sometimes it's really hard to love others. Do you agree with that? Yes, you're all nodding your heads. So,
yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. What makes it hard? Why is it sometimes difficult to love people? What are some of the things that pop into your head? It's okay. You can say it.
Just seeing that they're different than you, or like they have different interests. Sometimes you just look at a person and you just get annoyed by them, to be honest.
Yeah. Or you don't respect them. Sometimes it's hard to love someone that you don't have respect for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they're annoying. Yeah.
I mean, it could go the other way too. When people don't respect you, then you feel like they don't deserve your respect. But each person has the same amount of dignity, so you actually do have to respect them.
Is it possible to practice loving better, loving more? You think it's possible to practice?
I think it's possible to practice because, I mean, just like anything else, to practice, you have to get yourself up off the couch and say, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's what Kobe said about the about people are scared of difference, and people are scared of other people who are different than them. And to practice love is to just get up off the couch and say, hey, I'm going to go out and love people who are different than me.
But how? Like by serving them, you mean? Or by going and giving a big hug? Or, you know.
I think anything that's awesome, like the kid president said.
Just talking to them.
Give them a high five. Smile. Just be.
Going outside of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. So we know then. Nick, this is what I want to go back to when you were talking about sharing the message of Christ. Because we as Christians know that really what's going to change the world is Jesus Christ, right? That's what he promised. He promised to come and renew the face of the earth and restore the earth. And we know this, right? And we live this and we share this when we can. But would you agree that we are in a culture that's becoming more and more hostile to this message?
Totally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Have you been in a situation where you were made to feel awkward because of your faith, because of your belief in Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell about it? Like, is there something specific you can recall?
Well, I went to a public school from 6th to 8th grade. And so it was kind of like awkward, you know, like talking about Christ to others. Though, like, I tried to, like, I would talk to my friends about Christ, and then, you know, you'd have people around you at the lunchroom just giving you weird looks, and then, you know, be labeled like the Jesus freak or whatever. But it didn't really bother me because I know I was trying to do God's work mm-hmm. in a situation or an environment that wasn't really accepting to it. And I mean, I had some pretty interesting conversations along the line, talking with all my friends, and there was questions and then there's answers. And then it was a really cool experience.
So you were able to grow from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe plant some seeds.
Hopefully. Maybe. Yeah.
Noah, did you have a story to share?
Yes, it is a story. I was at a graduation party one time, and I was talking to a person who I had just met, and they were like I don't know what better way to say it, like very hardcore atheists, like very against everything religion. And when you hear about conversations between pro-Christ and, you know, very against Christ, you always think of, you know, clashes or anger or violence. And that was not the case. In contrast, it was, you know, it was a very open conversation. We just sat down and we just talked.
So in that situation, you weren't made to feel judged or...
Right. And well, the only reason I'm bringing it up is that, you know, it's not every confrontation has to be, it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. It is possible, but I wonder if it's less and less possible because not only are people resistant to the message, but there's also like sort of widespread support for making Christians feel like idiots or feel uninformed or feel it backwards or feel judgmental. Or I mean, I know that I sense this a lot, maybe not personally toward me, but toward Christianity in general. And it doesn't seem to be the same way for most other religions. I don't know. For some reason, and maybe I just feel that way because I'm a Christian. I don't know. Maybe a Muslim person would tell me that I'm wrong and that's actually, you know. But I bring all that up because I want to play another clip because I think this is so telling of the culture we live in. Okay, so this is Matthew McConaughey, who won Best Actor at the 2014 Oscars. I guess it was for 2013. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. So for 2013... for Dallas Buyers Club, which was the movie that he was in. And I want you to listen to this clip. So he gets up and he thanks two of his fellow actors. And the crowd goes crazy, you know, with approval and applause. And then he thanks God. And there's this awkward silence. Yeah. And then sort of a polite smattering from the bravest among them. So let's listen and then we'll talk about it.
I want to thank Jean-Marc Vallée, our director. I want to thank Jared Leto, Jennifer Garner, who I worked with daily. There's a few things, about three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. Now, first off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. He's graced my life with opportunities that I know are not of my hand or any other human hand. He has shown me that it's a scientific fact that gratitude reciprocates.
So again, that was Matthew McConaughey accepting his Best Actor Oscars. And I just thought that was so, you know, you sit through those speeches and they applaud for everybody. They thank everybody and the audience applauds for everybody, you know. And then the one time in the whole night that somebody thanks God, there's just dead silence. And I felt, when I heard that, I don't know, did anybody else see it when it happened?
I heard about it.
Yeah, but you heard about it. Okay. I felt so discouraged because I think, darn it, like, we look to famous people to make a real impact in the world, you know? But for me, that was like, well, I guess the famous people aren't going to do it, you know? I guess we're going to have to do it. So do you think that teenagers in particular feel powerless to bring about change in the world? Yeah. You do. Some of you do. Kobe, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
What advice would you guys have for kids who are feeling like, I'm going to have to let somebody else do that, or I don't have the power or the influence to do that?
I would just reassure all the teens out there, like, Christianity is by far the most popular religion out there. And sometimes it's hard to see, like, that there's other Christians out there, you know, that there's other people like you. But really, there are so many people who have the same beliefs as you. And, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone and, like, you know, preaching the gospel or, like, talking to people about God, you might be surprised about how many people follow you. Like, when that guy said God's name, like, there were some people who were shocked, but there are also people who clapped, and that led to other people clapping. So I think it's kind of a chain reaction. If you start the change, then other people will follow because they'll be inspired.
And I think that's a really good point, Nick, because it's easy to feel like, am I the only one that feels this way?
Yeah.
And to feel like you're the minority voice. But then if you really start talking to people, you really start sharing, you find that you're not the minority voice. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Any other words of encouragement you would offer, or anything you want to add to what Nick just said?
I think, like, it's obviously, you feel powerless because it takes, like, a lot of guts. Like, what he said took a lot of courage, and because he knew that it wasn't going to please people. So you have to really build up courage and strength to do that. And, like, listening to the clip, you heard, like, one person, like, actually shout out, which was awesome, which kind of started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the person who did that, like, that takes courage. So, like, just, like, doing little things, too, that maybe not be as scary, but still doing it makes a big difference.
Right. Taking that first step. Yeah. Kaylee or Noah, anything to add to that advice for... No?
Yeah, I would just agree with Nick and Kobe in that you just have to... It's just little stuff. It goes back to the quote of Mother Teresa, that, you know, the big people aren't going to do a lot of the heavy lifting. It's got to be a lot of small acts of love that really move people, and that is really what teens need to go off of. Is not a lot of us can go out there and start a big movement, but we all can do tiny little acts that equal one big movement. And if we can convince some of our peers to help us in that, you know, it's just little stuff, you know, little acts of love, hugs, a high five, you know, encouraging word or whatever, that'll just domino effect into what could be a really good thing.
I know that whenever I'm out with teenagers and we're doing service, it's so inspiring for people to see young people coming together and giving up their time and working hard. And it inspires people. It gives people hope. So I don't even know if you guys realize how much hope you give older generations of people. You know, it's easy to get down on the youth, like, oh, teenagers these days, you know, like the old lady on her front porch waving her cane, you know, get off my... It's so easy to have that image that teenagers are just up to no good. So when people see teenagers up to really good stuff, it gives a lot of hope. It really inspires. Are there things that parents can do to encourage or motivate their kids to bring about change in the world?
I mean, just raising your kid in an Catholic environment, Christian environment, where you can go to church and pray regularly, then the kid's going to want to do the same thing. And then as he grows up, he's going to know how to lead by example because his parents did it. And he's going to feel more comfortable with that.
Kaylee, wait. I bet you have a quote from your mom.
Oh, I always do. Yeah, that's my mom.
Kaylee's mom is so quotable. It's awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, she always tells me that, like, we, in order to, like, live your faith, you have to, like, show, like, living your faith. So, like, our it's coming up around Easter. We're doing like we do our yearly, like we make Easter like little food bags and we bring them down to like the soup kitchen and we just do that once a year. And we know that even though it's like a small gift, that we know that making some 50 lunches is going to help some 50 people out there in Columbus who need them.
And, you know, what's interesting about that, Kaylee, is the thing that you pointed to at the beginning of the show was poverty and hunger. You know, so clearly you making those Easter baskets with your family has formed your heart, you know, to feel for people who are hungry. Yeah, so that's a perfect example, parents leading by example. We just have 1 minute left, so I'd like to close in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the gifts and the talents you've given us. We thank you so much for the faith that our parents have instilled in us. We ask you, Lord, to guide us as we use these gifts, as we use these talents, as we live this faith to bring about change in this world. We know, Lord, that you alone can restore and renew the face of the earth, and we ask you to help us be instruments in that plan. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, you know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.